created an enemy. The blessing of God in your life creates enemies. It's nothing that you've done. It's nothing that we've mustered up and done in the flesh that creates people to hate the church and not to like us. Jesus said, they hate you, they hate me. It's nothing you've done, just the blessing of God in your life. That's so powerful. It'll create enemies in your life. But this enemy is his own brother. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. Hated him so much he wanted to kill him. Physically kill him. It wasn't just like, I want to kill you. It was like, I am going to kill you. When this is all said and done, when my dad is no more on this earth, I am going to kill him. Jacob honors his mother's counsel and flees for his life. Do you imagine having to flee your own home? Your mother sitting there telling you, leave, because your brother's going to kill you. Could you imagine that conversation? Genesis 27:42-45. And these words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself. It's going to comfort Esau, proposing to kill you. Killing you comforts him. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's turn, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's angers turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Why should I lose both of you in one day? If you will just leave for a while, then I'll at least have one. The future was in her mind. She wasn't trying to make this right. She knew she couldn't make this right. The mother of the house had no power to make this thing right. There was too much animosity built up between the brothers for the mother of the home to make this thing right. So somebody had to leave. I think of Abraham and Lot. They come to a place and they say, we are brethren, but we cannot dwell together anymore. We got to depart from each other. It's better for the kingdom of God this way. It's better for the eternal purpose this way, that we depart from one another. So Jacob honors his mother and he flees for his life. He goes to her brother's home to flee for his life. This is where this is at this point. Jacob is fleeing for his life. That's very important. And then Rebekah speaks with the man of the house privately. She speaks with Isaac privately. And it said in verse 46 of chapter 27, and Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. She's weary of her life. There's so much emotion in that word. Weary because of my daughter-in-laws. If Jacob take a wife for the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be to me? Even if I have both of my sons and my daughter-in-laws are not of what I honor, what good is my life? That's what she's saying. So now, Rebekah speaks with Isaac privately. Now, Jacob and his father have a conversation in Genesis 28:1-2. And it said, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughter of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Private fellowship between husband and wife took Jacob's flight for his life and created purpose there. When it was just Rebekah that talked to him, he was fleeing for his life. But then after Rebekah and Isaac talked in that secret place of their own home, after that, Jacob had purpose. Now you're not just going there to flee, you're going there to get a wife. You're going there to get a wife. Praise God. That private fellowship with God moves his heart as his bride of Christ, that we tell him, we can get alone with him, tell him what we're weary of, the things, and then he will move on that. He will move on that for our best interest. We might be fleeing for our lives, but then it's time to get alone with God and start talking to him about why. We might have a thing in our home, but it's time to get alone with God and start talking to him that this is wearisome unto me, God. This is wearisome unto me. Hear me. Move. Let's just talk. Let's just talk, God. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Through the deceitfulness and everything, it says that love bears and endures all things. Isaac honored Rebekah's request because he loved her. The love covered that multitude of sin. Praise God. Rebekah shared her burden with Isaac. And I got here, you think your house is full of drama. Look at what's going on in this house. Messed up situations are definitely in God's hands and blessed of God. In the believer's life, that's going to continue. You know, this stuff can cause people to run and not come together as a family and seek God, and not come together just with God alone and seek him to make the thing right. At least in the spirit realm, it's right. It might not be right all around you, but at least in the spirit realm, it'll be right. I think of COVID-19 in my life. I had to get that right in the spirit realm before I could go do anything else. Because to be honest, it freaked me out when they started closing big, big things that I never thought would be closed in my life. When Chicago shut down, that was a little freaky. Never thought I'd see that. The man of God would have had his way, Esau and his wives would have been blessed. But God. God's hand was all over this drama, great storm in the family of God. God's hand was all over this. Praise God. Young men, single men, the wife is very important to God. The wife God has for you is very important to God. Don't be like Esau and just start marrying beautiful women if they let you. Abraham made not just any servant, but his eldest servant swear on his thigh to go get Isaac his son a wife. Genesis 24:1-4. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Rebekah was a big deal. It wasn't just something God was throwing together. Your wife, your bride is a big deal. And if you listen to Paul, not getting married is a big deal. God has his way. The scriptures about the thigh, Genesis 32:25. It says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled him with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. But his thigh, God touched his thigh, and the children of Israel still don't eat of that thigh on certain on animals, because it was that was so important. Genesis 32:32. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Genesis 47:29. It says here, and the time drew nigh that Israel must die, Jacob. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. It was such a big deal that Jacob wasn't buried in Egypt, but with his fathers, that he made Joseph put his hand under his thigh and swear to it. Revelation 19:16. This one really spoke to me. It says here, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, on his vesture and on his thigh, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus himself has that written on his thigh. Praise God. The thigh was important to God, as we see. Therefore, the bride was important to God. Hallelujah. Jacob's journey with the Lord continues, church. I want to challenge you, when you read your word, look for that word journey. You're going to see it more and more as you read your word. Even Jesus himself, it said, was on a journey. The children of Israel journeyed. Jacob continued on his journey. We need to be on the journey that the Lord has us on. Hallelujah. This is the long haul. Praise God. Jacob journeys with the Lord continue. Genesis 29:1-2. It says, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. Jacob sees, meets, and fellowships with Rachel. Genesis 29:9-12. It says here, and while he yet spake with them, he was talking about doing stuff with the sheep and business pretty much. Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, he sees her, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. We don't know. The word wept is that bitterness, that cry, that uncontrollably cry Jacob had when he first met Rachel. He kissed her and he wept. That's so powerful, that emotion there that's going on in the heart and that mind of Jacob as he sees this woman that he just instantly falls in love with. Brother Turner has a sermon. It's called, I Want My Rachel. That passionate love he had for her. And then he talks to her. He fellowships with her. Amen. There's an agreement made as Laban and Jacob are conversing, are telling of their life stories, of where they come from, how they're doing. There's an agreement made. Between an agreement, an oath, a covenant made between grown men. It's like a handshake. When you do business with somebody and you shake their hand, you just there's an expectation there that they're going to come through on their end, and you're putting your expectation into their hand and saying, I'm going to come through on my end. I'm going to give it all I've got. Stuff happens. People understand that. COVID-19 happens. But there's a handshake made there saying that I'm going to come through and you're going to come through. Genesis 29, 15 through 20. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. I've heard it said through that sermon Daryl Turner preached that Leah was tender-eyed. It didn't mean that she was ugly. It just meant that she was blue-eyed. But it means that she was a beautiful-looking woman. But Rachel was superior to Jacob. Rachel was superior. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. That love was so in him. You know what I mean? It was so in him. That it whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. It's not because he wanted her. It's because he loved her. A lot of people do anything for what they want. We'll get distracted by what we want, and it'll distract us from what we love. But Jacob was going to do anything because he loved her. Love was going to drive this man. The wedding happens. Oh, I skipped the thing. Brother Turner called it one of the greatest love stories of all time. This story between Jacob and Rachel. The wedding happens. Time to receive your just wages. Time to receive what's right. The end of my 40-hour week. If there's something wrong on that check, I'm in HR's office before the end of the day. It's time to receive what we agreed upon. Amen. Genesis 29, 21 through 26 says, and Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. This was a big deal unto Laban. He was giving his daughter away. He was going to make a feast. He's going to throw a party. We're going to have a wedding. If we're going to do this at all, let's do this right. Praise God. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. It was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? What happened to our handshake? What happened to our oath? What happened to our agreement? I want Rachel. That's what Jacob's saying. And if any man would look at this situation and say, that's right. Jacob's right. Laban lied. Laban beguiled him. Jacob did what he had to do. Rachel should be his. This is unfair. This is unjust. We're going to court. I was lied to. Listen, church, Jacob's dreams and plans according to an oath were destroyed because of a tradition. In Genesis 29:26, and Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. A tradition ruined Jacob's known ideas. Everything after that 7 years was up, everything was supposed to be right. The love of Jacob's life was kept from him. Jacob fulfilled his end of the oath. In the eyes of Jacob, he was beguiled. God's ways are not our ways. In the eyes of everybody looking at this story, he was beguiled. Every man, he was beguiled. A major, major setback to the future of Jacob and Rachel's life together was destroyed on his wedding day. Do you imagine that? Your wedding day is supposed to be one of the greatest days of your life, and your whole future is just looks different now. You have a wife you didn't want because of a tradition. Crazy. If I am free to say, tradition won the battle. Tradition won the battle on this one, but the war rages on, church. In the Civil War, the North lost some battles. But the war continued to go on. It wasn't over after that one battle. Amen. Japan won on that day, Pearl Harbor. But it didn't end that day. Might have looked bad, but it wasn't over. And just think. Ladies, to be Leah. Just think to be Leah, who is married to one whose great desire is another woman. Do you imagine that? As a man to be married to a wife whose great desire is another man? Setbacks. Huge setbacks. And to make it worse, Jacob does not settle for Leah. He's not going to settle for the one he's married to. Genesis 29:26-30, 27-30, fulfill her week. Laban just says, give me another 7 years, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet another 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. God looked down from heaven, church, on this whole mess, on this whole situation. The beguiling, God is in control of this situation. There's a bigger picture going on that man cannot see. God looks down from heaven, church, and he sees what's going on, and he shows pity on Leah. God is in control of your mess, drama, family, whatever you want to call it. In Jacob's 13 years of servanthood, 11 children were born. Who knows what would have happened if he would have received Rachel after 7 years? Nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know what would have happened if he would have received his wages that he agreed to after 7 years. He might have left and went back home with the love of his life. Luke 22, 25 through 27. The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serves. Jacob's 13 extra years of servanthood birthed him 11 children through that time. And now we call him the God of Jacob. He is the God of Jacob. That servanthood created life. Praise God. Jacob's love for Rachel created a servant's heart, and our love for Christ creates a servant's heart. God's sovereign act of mercy created four children. Genesis 29:31. It says again, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And after the fourth child, in Genesis 29:35, it says, now she left bearing. So there was a time. She had four children. She had more, but she had four children, and then she left bearing. There was a time to have these children. And if you stick with the book of Genesis and the book of Genesis only, Reuben was her firstborn. And you go to Genesis 49, verse 4, it says, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed and defiled thou it. He went up to my couch. Reuben did that to his father, the firstborn. Simeon and Levi, Genesis 49, verses 5 and 7. 5 through 7, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are they in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. And then Judah was born. And if you just read Genesis chapter 38, You would know what happened with Judah and how he had his first and how he had his children, how he had his twins. It wasn't the prettiest story. So if you would just stick with the book of Genesis, all you read, you would think the setback of Leah was nothing but a setback. And through Rachel came Joseph. Praise God. If you just read the book of Genesis and stopped, that would be a mindset that would, it would come to a conclusion. Matthew 2, verses 16 through 18 says this. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children. It would not be comforted because they are not. Rachel gets the recognition of the Holy Scriptures that she's weeping for her children. The love of Jacob's life gets the recognition through the Gospel of Matthew that it's her weeping heard, her lamentation was heard. Honor Rachel. I want to focus in on three of Leah's children. Genesis 29. 34 and 35. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Leah. In Genesis 35, Levi. In 35. And she conceived again and bare a son and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing. In Genesis 30, verses 12 and 13, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Leah's desire in verse 34 to be joined with her husband brought forth Levi, a man of anger, but through Levi came Moses and Aaron. Psalm 77:20. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God leads thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Hallelujah. The whole book of Leviticus is for the Levites, the priest, the high priest of every generation. The giving of the law, all this came through Levi in the hidden gem, Leah. God is in control of your mess. If you have one. If you don't have one, praise God. Samuel also came through Levi, great prophet that anointed King Saul and King David, only two human kings to rule over all of Israel. The books were named 1 and 2 Samuel, not Saul and David. Now Genesis 29:35. It says, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Now, Genesis 29:35, nothing about her affliction, nothing about it, her desire to be with her husband, nothing about her, just praising the Lord. And Judah came through that. Ladies, the praises of a wife bearing a child to a husband that has a wife that is superior to her. Something happened in the heavens that day. Something eternal. the emotions, the praises, whatever was going on in Leah's heart, whatever she saw, as you read on, she hires her husband with mandrakes to lay with her and have a child. She's got to hire him. But all that she put down when she had Judah, and she praised God. And that's all it says, is she praised God. God inhabits the praises of his people. Yes, get alone with him. Cast your burdens on him. He cares. He cares for you, church. Get alone with him. Talk to him. Tell him what you're weary about. Tell him what you're joyful about. Tell him everything. But he inhabits your praises. And that's what she did the day Judah was brought forth. Judah, Rahab, Ruth, David, Solomon, all the great kings of Judah, all the prophecies about Christ, the virgin birth, Jesus Christ himself, all was birthed the day Judah was born and the day Leah praised the Lord. Psalm 78, 68 through 72. It says, but God chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high place palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people. Hallelujah. In Israel, his inheritance. Hallelujah. God chose David. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Praise God. I want to focus in on Asher, Genesis 30, 12 through 30. She said, happy will I be because the children will call me blessed. The daughters will call me blessed. If you go to Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. Ruth is before the Samuels. Yeah. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the women that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. You know, this is the only time outside of Genesis Leah's name is mentioned. In the whole Bible, I looked it up. Look it up. This is the only time Leah's name is mentioned. Everything's children of Jacob, Rachel, Abraham, Sarah. Sarah obeyed God, had great faith. And I'm not downplaying that. She did. It was great. I love the story of Rachel when she died bearing Benjamin. I love it. I love it. I love it all. There's so much hidden in that life of Leah. There's so much that came forth through that life of Leah and the dealings, her life, what it must have been like. That hard life bore much fruit. Praise God. Genesis 49:31. It says, there they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac, and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. And Jacob would soon be buried there. Remember that when he put his hand, when Joseph put his hand on his thigh? That was to make sure that Jacob would be buried there. Leah was there, not Rachel. And if it was up to Isaac, it would have been Esau, not Jacob. And if it was up to Jacob, it would have been Rachel, not Leah. But God buried the lineage of Jesus Christ there. God had his way. And the lineage of Christ was buried there. And if you read the story in the book of Genesis earlier about that was so important to Abraham that he paid money for that burial place. That was so important to God in the big picture that Abraham paid money to have this place sacred and written in the scripture, the word of God. Praise God. Galatians 3:24. It says this, Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The law that came down from Moses was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The law that came down from the tribe of Levi to bring us unto Christ that came down from the tribe of Judah. That we might be justified by faith. That we sitting right here might be justified by faith. All that whole scripture is talking about Leah's womb. All that started back in Leah's womb. Great, great authority came out of the necessary setback of the marriage of Jacob and Leah. Great, great authority came out of that. The roots of the fruit that was bared so many years later of Christ and the lineage of the priest and Aaron and all these things were all formed in that mess, in those messes, in those family dramas, in those family times, in those wearisome times of Isaac and Rebekah and the fellowship and the talks behind the closed doors that happened between Isaac and Jacob, and I mean between Rebekah and Jacob, and the talks that happened between Rebekah and Isaac and all that stuff, all them roots were digging into the ground looking for water because there was such a mess going on, and they found it, church. Them roots found that water, and they bared fruit unto everlasting life. Praise God. Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, the authority Moses got in that scripture. Praise God. Saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Great and marvelous was the day that you opened Leah's womb and you closed Rachel. Praise God. Lord God Almighty, just and true was the day that Jacob didn't receive Rachel after 7 years. Just and true are your ways. Thou, King of Saints, the day every man that's looking into that would see an unjust thing, a beguile thing that just happened. Just and true are his ways. God chose the praises of Leah, the loveless wife of Jacob, to bring forth the life of Christ in me and you. Brother Turner said in Alabama, when you get into that wilderness, you become nothing but a zero. You become nothing but a zero. You know what Leah did? She praised him anyway. She praised him anyway. Luke 9:48. Says, and Jesus said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name, that's not the right scripture. Dang. No, yeah, it is. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. He that is least among you all, the same shall be great. He that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Think about the tradition of Laban. Might have won that battle, but God won the war. God won the war. That tradition of Laban might have made a life miserable. I don't know if Leah, if you read through the scripture, it didn't seem like Leah, she really wanted Jacob to love her. If you read that book, if she really wanted Jacob to love her. It might have made that life really bad, that tradition. But God had a plan in the eternities. Praise God. God won the war, salvation to all the nations. Came through that great setback. Church, praise him for your setbacks. I've had a couple this year. And this message was, God showed me something, but he really planted that in me. I was going to say it was birthed way before them setbacks, but I don't know if that's necessarily true. But the Lord done something, and he's doing something in your messes, your family, your church, everything. God's doing something. And it might take, Benjamin died at birth. I mean, Rachel died at Benjamin's birth. Benjamin had a horrible thing happen in the book of Judges where they wouldn't give a man up that was taking advantage of women. And then they lost all their brides. And then God said, go get brides from another nation, give them to Benjamin. But first, before that happened, the children of Israel wept over Benjamin because they couldn't go on without women. They couldn't go on without a bride. So God said, go to another nation, get them brides, and bring them here. And when we read in the New Testament, Apostle Paul says, I'm out of the tribe of Benjamin. God has his ways. I can't explain them, but he's got them. Just and true are your ways. As they're singing the song of Moses and the Lamb, that all came through a woman who wasn't even wanted. Amen. I don't know if you need the altar or anything like that, but I'm just going to pray. Lord God, I'm just thankful for that you are in control, God. And Lord, I pray that we would just trust you, Lord, through the messes and storms and trials and things we even bring on ourselves, that your ways are not our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.